If you have a Bible today, if you'd turn with us over in the book of Judges, chapter number 17. The book of Judges, chapter number 17. I appreciate the men that has prayed for me this morning. I do desire your prayers more so today than I've ever have. I want to thank him for being good to me. And I bless him and I praise him. The book of Judges, a story, for sake of time, give you a little background about Samson. The Lord don't change your heart. We'll be preaching out of his life tonight. But tonight I'd like to start at the first of his life, but this morning I want to start at the finish of his life. The Bible said, Judges 16, Samson went to Gaza, saw there a harlot, went in unto her. It was told the Gazites, Samson's come hither. They compassed him. Verse 3, Samson lay till midnight, rose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city, the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all. Put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill. That's before Hebron. Came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said, entice him. He's been a big issue to us. Isn't it amazing? One Delilah will do Samson more harm than all the Philistines. He said, we heard that he's come to you and I want you to entice him. And we got a question. We want to see where his great strength lies. But what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him, afflict him. We'll give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. And he goes to telling lies. He makes a joke out of the things of God. We find Samson now in verse 17. He told her all his heart. Said to her, there hath not come a razor on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he told her all her heart, she sent and called for the Philistines. The Bible said, verse 19, she made him sleep on her knees. She called for a man, caused him to shave 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as other times. And I'll shake myself and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house, albeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he had shaven. In verse number 25, come to pass when their hearts were merry, the Philistines, they said, call Samson that he may make a sport or entertainment. They called for Samson out of the prison house and made him sport. They set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women. The lords of the Philistines was there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. He was a spectacle. Samson called on the Lord. And this is what he said. We want to preach from this morning. Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. You may be seated this morning. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what my heart's already felt being at your house today. I want to thank you for the good Sunday school lesson, how it's challenged me and encouraged me. I want to thank you for using Brother Adam, Brother Randy in such great ways. Thank you, God, what you're doing through Brother Dwayne and Miss Karen. Thank you, Lord, what you're doing through all of our teachers and preachers and leadership in this ministry. Now, Lord, I'm a needy preacher today. As Brother Randy said, when we get to thinking that we can do something, Lord, then we're in bad trouble. God, you've taught me through the schools of hard knocks, I can do nothing within myself. And that I do realize. And I know that I can do nothing without you, but Lord, I got some sheep here today that you've entrusted me with to under shepherd. And they, son, need to hear from you today. And I'd ask that they wouldn't hear from the under shepherd, but they'd hear the voice of the great shepherd this morning. God, would your power come on me now and let me preach an unction and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Move in our midst, and I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for what's accomplished in this sermon today. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. There's a lot of things that I could say what got Samson in this place. But for sake of time, I'm going to deal with this one thought nugget this morning out of verse 28 when he said, I pray thee only this once. You know what he said? One more time, Lord. Would you just let me? One more time. I pen these down and I hope the Holy Ghost will firebrand them in our soul. I want to say one more time, Lord, would you please let me follow you again. Let me follow you again. I've noticed that when the sheep quit following the shepherd, they find themselves in some bad and faraway places. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15, you'll notice here the great teacher, he puts before us a parable, and he spake this parable to them in Luke 15 and 3. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'm reminded today in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, when the sheep get out of sight of the shepherd, they begin to stray. They begin to wander. They begin to look around. You may have been a time in your life when you was right on the heels of the great shepherd. Now I want to say there's nothing like following Jesus. You talking about Christianity is not exciting. Friend, you sell out and you follow this man from Galilee. And he'll take you to places that you thought that you'd never go. We find some fishermen, some rough men. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, it picks up in verse number 18. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, that's casting a net in the sea because they were fishers. He said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And they never missed a meal for it. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets and called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, I want to remind you today, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What a blessing it is to follow one that never makes a mistake. Oh, Lord, would you, just one more time, let us follow you again. God, could we be so close to you that in spite of the crosses of life, we'll pick up our cross and follow you. Can I tell you that being a real Christian is not an easy thing? It takes a lot of maintenance upon the flesh of a Christian. It takes a lot of priority upon oneself. We don't have time to minder or gander at somebody else's house or somebody else's actions or doings. Can I tell you that this thing that we're robed in this morning will take up all your time if you're really following Christ and got your eyes upon Him? Oh, Lord, one more time, would you let us follow you again? Do you remember the time when God saved you and that glorious relationship that you had? When he had stopped, you'd bump right into him. It's nothing like following the shepherd. You'll notice in Luke 15 when sheep get in trouble, so they quit following the voice of the shepherd. And I think many times we get in trouble because we're not listening to the shepherd. We're listening to CNBC, ABC, NBC. We're listening to the History Channel. We're looking at all the opes and the soaps and the dopes and the popes. But nobody's looking in the Word of God to see what the shepherd's saying. I'd like to ask you something this morning in a way of challenge. If you wrote on a piece of paper in front of you this morning and you put the hours that you spend in your TV or the hours that besides your Bible, I wonder what would outweigh one the other this morning. I'd ask you if you're really following the shepherd, how many hours in prayer have you put in it this week? How many of you prayed this morning for your family, for your church, or for your preacher when you come to the house of God? Oh, Lord, that we may follow you again. It's nothing like being in his fold. You'll notice this ought to scare a lot of us this morning. When his sheep gets out of the fold, he goes after them. He puts them on his shoulder. And I read one old writer one time said that a sheep that keeps straying, he fixes him. Because he takes his staff and he breaks his leg. And he puts him up on his shoulder and he brings him back to the other little sheep. And he sits down and he walks with a limp. And every time he looks around at his broken limb, he's reminded not to get out of the sheepfold from the eyes of the shepherd. There's danger getting out of the sheepfold this morning for sheep. There are wolves that will tear and rend you. But can I tell you, there's security and there's prosperity in numbers today. Don't be alone. Stay in the sheepfold with a great shepherd. He has his eyes upon you, friend. He has a staff like nobody else's staff. He has a nice green pasture like nobody else's pasture. I'd rather be a sheep in his pasture, honey, than to be out on the governor's board today. I'd rather be drinking out of his stream than any water I've ever drank. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a sheep in his pasture, and it is in my heart to follow the great shepherd. Oh, God, one more time, let me follow you. Number two, God, one more time, let me feel you. In Luke 24, you say, preacher, it's not about feeling. Well, you can have your religion. I'll take the one I've got because there's feelings in it. I realize that feelings don't bring salvation. But I'll guarantee you, neighbor, salvation will bring some feelings. We find here a couple, a lot of commentators, they've had a lot of debates about whether they're husband or wife. Let's say that they are. The Bible says in Luke 24, on one more time, Lord, not only let me follow you again, but Lord, let me feel of you again. Now, Luke 24, we find upon the first day they came very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, and Jesus wasn't there. Verse 12, Peter rose and looked in and couldn't find the Lord and departed wondering in himself that which was come to pass. Verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. They talked together of all these things that had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together, and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? He said, what are you so sad about? Jesus walked right in their midst and they didn't even know who he was. And he asked this question. He said, now you've just left the most greatest thing that's ever happened upon the pages of a Bible. And why are you walking home sad? That's many of us this morning. We're on our way home sad. Jesus wishes that we'd not be sad, but that we would be glad, that we would trust him in everything. Matter of fact, you'll notice that some things that happen to these characters will happen to you and me. The Bible said in verse 16, their eyes were holding, they should not know him. And then he said, one of them in verse 18, his name was Cleopas, answered and said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and you don't know the things that's went on here these days? He said to them, what things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who's a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people. how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to condemn to death and have crucified. Now look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been which had should have redeemed Israel. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. But we trusted. In other words, they were let down. You ever been let down in life? You know some things that will take the fire out of you on your way home is some letdowns in your life. I mean, people will let you down. Don't get your eyes on people. People will let you down. Thank God for good, solid rock people. Thank God for the Donald Hubbards of the church. Thank God for the men of the church that have stood through the test of time. But don't get your eyes on men. You'll notice this. They thought something was supposed to happen. Have you ever been let down? And notice this, they're walking around sad because it didn't work out the way they thought it would. Well, you know, the devil will never show you what you got. He'll just show you what you hadn't got. When he made me come out of a career 24 years, he said, you're on top of the ladder and you're walking out. You'll never have nothing else. I've got more now than I've ever had in all my life. I face more devil than I ever face. But I'm telling you, spiritually and materially, I have more today than I've ever had in my life. Can you put a number on grandchildren? Can you put a value on children? Can you put a value on a marriage? I've got more than I've ever had. And here we see that things didn't work out and they got sad. Some of you, you got sad because things didn't work out the way you planned. What you need to do is pull your head down and realize maybe that's not what God had for you and be willing to listen to Him, and He may take you some places that you've never been. It didn't make sense for me to retire at 46 years old from Pepsi-Cola. Matter of fact, the owner looked at me and said, son, have you lost your mind? You're making a career change at 46 years old. You're on top of the world. A lot of times God will allow things that don't make sense to you. But don't take it out on God. God's not doing it to hurt you. God's allowed it to help you. Now listen to Him. He walked away sad because it didn't work out we supposed it being. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'd love to have this wing over here sitting there full this morning, but it ain't happened yet. You'd have thought maybe in nearly 20 years it done happen. And if it don't ever happen, God help me not to have the poochy mouth disease. If things work out and maybe I don't get to preach 30 revivals a year, God help me that I don't walk around sad because things didn't work out the way I thought. Because I done noticed this, honey. My ways are not His ways. He's got some things hiding out yonder that I don't need to be involved in if I'll listen to Him. He knows the way that I take. A lot of you, disastrous things happen in the churches that you're from. Well, God allowed it for a reason. Look what He's given you now. Some things happen in your family. No, it wasn't necessarily scripted out by you, but there's a sovereign God in heaven allowed things to happen in our lives that bring us closer to Him. Who am I? I'm a bought sheep. I'm a bought dog. Who am I to tell a sovereign God the plan for my life? I'll be saying, dear God, give me your plan for my life, and I'm willing to follow you with my cross. Just because you think you serve God, your kids is going to act right. Just because you serve God, you think that no issues is going to happen in your life. You better get a hold of this book and realize there's a God in heaven. Don't want us walking around here sad. He wants us walking around glad and listening to what He's got for us. Thank God I'm not in control of my life. I'd have missed the greatest blessing of any man that ever lived if I'd have wrote out the script of my life, been a guide at West Point Lake. Look what I would have missed. God does nothing wrong. God is a sovereign God, and He has things set in His plan and His providence and in His order. And you better be glad that you can't write the whole end of the book, honey. God may be wanting to do something bigger in your life than's ever happened. So you got to learn to submit and say, Lord, I'll just follow You. God, I've got to feel You again. God, if I have nothing, but if I've got You, I've got everything this morning. Oh, if I could just feel You again. They're so alone. The devil loves to get you alone. The devil loves to get you lonely. The devil loves you to get down on a pity party. Well, I've got nothing. The bills aren't paid. Trust Him. You may not be making $40 an hour what you qualified for. But you got to start someplace. I used to hire people all the time. They wanted my job. They didn't want to go through the ranks. Some of you young and say, well, I can't make nothing at $12 an hour. Well, young person, $12 beats nothing. $12 will let you go to Burger King and get you a double cheese with bacon. Going across the street to Mickey D's where them real French fries is at and get you something to help you in your life. I'd rather do that than be holding a sign up saying I'm hungry, feed me. Sometime you got to do what you don't want to do. Sometime I got to do what I don't want to do. Some of you young people, you want two cars in the driveway and a nice home. It took your mom and daddy 40 years to get what you wanted to start out with. And you're trying to blame because you ain't got nothing on God. It ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault. We want to put the blame on everybody else. What happened to woe is me? I don't want to feel the way I do, but it's here. I don't want to have to do some things that I have to do, but it comes with the territory. I don't like whooping grand youngins. And I sure don't like my family whipping on my grand youngins. But there comes a time when I've got to whoop my grandyoungins. Lord, let me feel You again. Verse 23, not 21, we trusted, but when they found not His body, they came saying, they seen a vision. Then He said to them, 25, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into His glory? See, we're not thinking about Him, we're thinking about us. Verse 28, they drew nigh in the village, whither they went. And He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day's far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. They got home now. That's why a lot of folks think they're husband-wife team. Jesus is still there, they don't know who He is. They said, it's dark, sir. We've had good conversations, just turn in with us. Look what He done. The Bible said it came to pass. He set it meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. And look what they said. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He taught with us by the way and while He opened us the Scriptures? Oh God, one more time, let us feel You again. I love feeling the presence of God. Make fun all you want to, honey. I've drunk it, I've smoked it, I've popped it, it ain't nothing like Jesus. You hear me this morning? I've drunk it, I've smoked it, I've popped it, I've downed it, I've uppered it, I've done it all, and it ain't nothing like the power of God on your life. Hallelujah. It's nothing like feeling the Lord. Nothing.
like knowing you're right with God and you fell a man and you say, Lord, hallelujah, thank you for saving something like me. Lord, let me follow you again. Lord, let me feel you again. Oh, I love it when he comes by. What an old dead service it'd be if he didn't come by and touch you. Lord. Lord, let me follow you again. Lord, just one more time, let me feel you again. Lord, just one more time, let me be faithful to you again. John 20:19. John 20:19. Now we see one crowd that day went home. Jesus is pretty busy, is he not? He goes here in the upper room on that Sunday night. He got up that morning. And guess what Jesus done? Watch this. Everybody throw a book. It's going to make you mad. Jesus come to church on Sunday night. You say, well, you ain't pleased with nothing. I'm not pleased with a half-empty church. And if I was, you got the wrong man at the book this morning. I bet you if Walmart had a 75% off sale tonight, you wouldn't feel too tired about going to church. I bet you'd be there. Hello? I don't know where this sermon's ending. All you got to do in preaching is have a place for the plane to take off. You never know where it's going to land. Some crash. Don't get on, Brother Mike, Brother Jerry. But thank God I know where to get up at. Jesus come to church on Sunday night. Why does churches quit Sunday night service? Because people won't come. What's here this morning? 300 plus? I hadn't counted. I'm scared to count. David got in trouble when he counted sheep. I said, I don't know. It was about full. I can tell you this, most of them wanted to be there, was there, and some couldn't get there, wanted to be there. And others just didn't want to be there. And I'm a bad preacher because I'm not calling the house every 3 seconds. Well, I'd have to work for Ma Bell. Jesus come to church on Sunday night. Why have you quit coming on Sunday night? I know some of you can't drive. I'm not talking to our elderly. I'm talking about you wanters broke. Some of the best preaching in America is in this church. I had one of the greatest pastors, been in a church 34 years in here last week. God give me one of the greatest thoughts. Let me tell you something. Why does churches cancel Sunday night? Because people don't want to come. Not that they can't, they just don't want to. We'd rather watch drama. We'd rather be caught up in the world and entertainment, you know. We got to be home and watch our favorite show. Let me ask you something. What has the TV ever done for your life that this book can't do? A lot of y'all say, well, I know what Brother Ken's going to say. I've been sitting under him nearly 20 years. Well, at least I ain't got a dress on. At least I'm not preaching out of NIV Bible. At least I'm trying my best to keep my life clean. You got great leadership. You got great people to come. You got one of the greatest facilities in America. But I tell you what's wrong. You want to's broke. You can do anything you want to do and quit making excuses and quit looking at me mad because I done rung your bell. You say, well, preacher, I don't like you. Well, my wife's lived with me 34 years. It's been some time she don't like me neither. I bet if your boy was over yonder at a state championship ball game, you'd make it there.
I bet you would.
I bet if he's fixing to get a reward, it's going to burn up one of these days. You'd be sure the whole family was there to see it, and you'd be there. I'm sure you can get them to ball practice four nights a week, but gas is too high to come to church.
I'd have lost 80% of you. I preached to the 20% that's left. Let me be faithful to you again. In John 20:19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews came. Jesus stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, put my finger on the print of his nails, and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe." Boy, lame excuses. Why wouldn't he there? He might not could have drove at night. I don't know. I'm not making fun of your medical situation. We got people here that can't drive at night. And I'll go on to say this. I've got some out here, I don't want to meet you in the road at night. Amen. So you're excused. But there's some of you can do better than what you're doing. My wife had a total knee replacement. You don't think she hurt? 3 weeks, she is in church. This little girl had a baby last Friday, had her newborn baby here Wednesday night. See, you can do what you want to do. Well, Thomas wasn't there when the Lord came. Lame excuses. These people have limited experiences. They miss out on what God does. You never know what God's going to do or when He's going to do it. And ain't no use in saying, "Well, send me a tape." The tape don't justify the service. I declare, I don't know why in the world you won't come to church. I don't know why it's such a burden to come. The only reason I can figure, when I don't want to come to church, I'm not right with God. That's all I can figure. Now, he wasn't there when the Lord came. Maybe he was little in expectations. "Oh, I know what they're going to do tonight. They're going to sing 3 songs. You're going to preach like a wild man. We'll get out at 8:15. Go eat pizza." Well, it's better than going to church with a woman up in a gown. It's better than going to church and they've done away with the pulpit and they got dancers on the stage. I tell you, nothing is better than being out chunning in a honky-tonk, drunk, don't know where you're at, and on the way home, upside down in a ditch bank. You can have all of that. Done been there, done that, wore that T-shirt out. Don't want no more of that. I know there are times when you miss church. I'm not belittling situations. But I'm talking about when you're just sitting at home and you could be at church, you're not right with God. You say, "Well, why would you say that, Pastor?" I'm glad you asked me. Hebrews 10:25. Now, y'all watch this verse. Watch it real carefully. I'm going to break it down so you can understand it. Hebrews 10:25. How often are we to go to church? Listen to me. Don't you think when a man has studied all week and gets up here and runs around like he's been in aerobic class and preaches an hour, he's tired on Sunday night too? Don't you realize it's discouraging to a preacher and it's discouraging to members when you just blatantly lay out? And besides all of that, what about us wondering where you are and when you're going to fall? Not if you're going to fall, but you're going to fall. Because you done got this ego on you and said, "I don't need God no more." Remember where He found you? You needed Him that day, didn't you, ma'am? Sir, you needed Him then, didn't you? Watch this verse. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another," or encouraging one another, "and so much the more as you see the day approaching."
We've got more Bible to tell us to get together today than we've ever had since Christendom has been together. Homosexuals marrying. Lesbians marrying. Man, look what's happening to our country. He said, as you see the day approaching, you ought to get together more. Listen, it's hard out yonder. And it don't get no easier missing church. I know a lot of you drive a long way. Thank God for you. Praise God the church is full. Thank God these people driving 50 miles. But I just want to ask you something real nicely as your pastor this morning. Do you really have your priorities right? I'm talking about what really is going to matter at the end of life. It's not about if you taught Johnny how to shoot a bow or shoot a gun or throw a ball, or if you taught Susie how to dance or play the piano. That ain't what it's about. At the end of the day, are they ready to meet God? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, some's going to lay out in the last days. Grow cold. But we the mowers, we see the day approaching. Don't you realize Jesus is soon to come? Hey, young people, look up here. It's hard enough to have a marriage with God in it. You ask any of these people who've been married over 30 years, they'll tell you it's a battle. You ask any of these saints of God, go ask the Brother Donald Hubbards. Go ask the Larry McMillans. Ask the Mike Rollins, the David Shattuckses. I want to know, how'd you stay together? Church! It's hard out there. You bunch of rednecks, you're looking at every woman come down the road. You just like an old cow looking over a barbed wire fence. You looking over at that green grass and that barbed wire's a cut in your neck. The further you reach, you don't realize what you're standing on. I'm going to go get me a young woman. I don't know what you're going to do with her. Amen. Don't know what you're going to do with her. She's going to run you crazy. You done settled down in life. You got a girl wanting to paint the town. You crazy. Praise God, let me get on my pajamas and go to bed about 8:30. What you talking about? I'm talking about the real deal this morning. Some crazy woman wanting to live with the Joneses. God never intended you to do that. You're going to get in big trouble. You're going to lose what you got. You better listen to the Word of God and the man of God this morning. God just not flippantly put me in this place with a message this morning. He said, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Word of God says. Lord, one more time, let me follow you. Lord, one more time, make my decisions. Lord, do we need to do this here? Lord, do we need to do this there? Let me tell you something. If you'll follow God, He's so big you can't miss Him. When in doubt, don't. Wouldn't it be so refreshing to you today if you'd follow an altar and say, God, I'm ready to listen. God, I want to follow You. God, I want to feel You. Let me ask you this. Why don't you testify no more? Have you quit feeling His presence? Why have you quit hugging necks in the church? You quit feeling Him? And I don't care what the devil says. If somebody there hates you, don't nobody hate you here. They're glad you're here. We need each other to be here. The Bible says when one is together, when they're alone, it's danger. But when two's together, they bring unity and they bring help when you're together. We need each other. You need a church. You need a God. You need a preacher. You need a Bible. You need an altar. Lord, let me be faithful to You again. Lord, let me be fascinated with You again. Lord, let me be fascinated with you again. Revelation chapter number 2. I'm closing. I just don't know where we're landing. Revelation 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Now they can't bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Hast borne, hast patience for thy namesake. Hast labored, hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, do the first works, else I'll come thee quickly. I'll remove thy candlestick out of place, except thou repent. Lord, let me be fascinated with you again. What happened to the God that can do anything? He said to the prophet Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? What happened to be fascinated with the service of God? The Spirit of God begins to move. I'm fascinated in what He does in our lives. Lord, one more time, let us be fascinated with what You're doing around here. Well, Lord, it's Sunday night. It's 4 o'clock. We just now got in from Target. Got to be at church 6. But Tim's got to work with a choir. Church. My God, all they ever want to do is have church and preaching. That's what Lot said. You know what Lot ought to have done when he seen Father Abraham? You remember Lot got his eyes out on Sodom as well water. He said, ooh, that looks so good. Abraham said, I tell you what, and I don't understand why Abraham gave him this much luxury, but he said, I tell you what you do. You look out yonder and you take one side and I'll take what's left. And you know what Lot should have done? He should have fell flat on his face. He said, oh, no. He said, I don't care if our herdmen are striving. He said, I'll cut every throat on every bull I got before I cross paths with you. The reason I'm blessed is because I followed you. And he went to Sodom. And daddies, you know what happened? He took his boys to Sodom, but he couldn't get them out. Abraham had too much church at his house. Too much praying around there. Lord, help us to be fascinated with you again. And the last point I want to make, and I want you to hear it if you don't hear anything else. Lord, let me be fearful of you again. Brother Adam taught last Sunday on fearing the Lord. You see, Miss Julie, I want you to come if you would, get ready to sing. There's an era that has come into our community, into our lives, into our structure. The fear of God has left America. While many of us was in the bed sleeping, this New Year's Eve, we got on camera. Somebody climbed under the buses and the vans. They cut the hose, siphoned the gas out. You know something? Now, I'm going to say this right here. I might would have got it from a neighbor, but I don't know I'd went to God's house and got it. But it's talking about the redneck I am. We had a gazebo right out here one time. We had 2 oak rockers out there. I'd go out there and I'd study my passage between Sunday school. Went out there one morning and looked, and the rocker's gone. Somebody stole the rockers off God's porch. When you go out, look above these doors and these entranceways. You know where it is? It's alarms. We can't even lay down wondering what they're going to do in God's house while we're in the bed. God, one more time, let us fear you again. You know what He said? In His Word, Brother Adam described it so good. It's not that we're scared of God. It means there's a reverence of God. A holy awe, a hush. A dear Lord, You're everything. Holy and reverend is His name. Don't you never put a reverend in front of a preacher. You call your pastor or brother. Not reverend. Because reverend and holy is His name. God, let me be fearful of you again. You listen to me here, sinner. You listen to me here, mom and daddy. I've not preached this to hurt you today. I've preached this to help you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of affliction. I want to say this. God, let us fear you again. Sinner, you need a Savior. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, not saved. If I was here this morning and I'd never been saved by the grace of God, I wouldn't wait to this altar call. I'm not talking about are you a religious person. I'm not even talking about do you believe in God. The Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. I want to know if you've been born again. Have you been saved by the grace of God? Has it ever been a time that you got lost, seen yourself as a sinner, and you come to Christ to save you? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Sinners died last night while we were in our sleep, and in hell they lift their eyes this morning. You know what? They'll never get out of that place except for one day. They'll be cast in the lake of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, preacher, is hell really real? It sure is. Don't get no realer than hell. Lord, one more time, let us fear you again. Church, I'm scared of my actions. Brother Mike, what I'm going to stand before a holy God and give an account of what I've done out of that pulpit and what I've allowed to happen out of that pulpit, I'm going to give an account for it. And you're going to give an account for your life, everything you've done. You're going to give an account individually to God. We're not to be so frightful of God that we can't come to. He loves us. He's our Father. And if you're a wayward child, He wants you to get close this morning. You know, Renee told me something last night about her daddy. He told her that he got one of the worst whippings he'd ever got one day, and he was scared he wouldn't come back in the house. What that little boy didn't know, it hurt the daddy more than it hurt him. A lot of you think, well, God don't love me. Oh, let me tell you something. He would love to see you get back right with Him this morning. If there's anything that'll tear me up, it's two things. And I'm not telling the devil no secret. He knows it. If my girls' homes and my home is not right and this church ain't right, it gets into bed with me. And I said all that to say this, it bothers me more than it bothers them or you. But when I'm not right with God, I really believe, Brother Gerald, it bothers Him more than it bothers me. One more time, Lord. Could you imagine Samson looking around at his troubles? He'd done made some bad mistakes and got some bad things. You know what he said? God, just one more time, let me feel you. Let me follow you. One more time, let me fear you. You listen to me, ma'am. Sir, you listen to this preacher. Don't you die without God. Don't you die without God. He loves you. He paid the price to save you on an old rugged cross. And the only way you can cash that check is by faith,
to trust Him for what He's done for you. All over the house this morning, this altar, not even all, I even think about holding this church. I simply asked you, has God said anything to your heart today? Miss Julie, you sing. I want to open these altars up. Get you a place somewhere where you need to get. Nobody's business but you and God. You ought to grab your wife this morning and say, oh God, one more time, help me. Dear God, one more time, help me while we sing.